Warning, the following podcast contains coarse language and spoilers for the film and the title of the podcast.
Now playing.
No. What I'm going to do is I'm going to take down the sound clip of he's got space dementia. I'm just going to randomly insert it after everything I say. like that.
That's legit. Yeah, that seems fair.
Movie reviews in 20 Qs.
Hello, you goddamn fantastic people, and welcome to the podcast, Movie Reviews in 20 Qs, the show where we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. I'm your host, Sam, and I am joined this week by two awesome people, the first of which is a woman who needs to be stopped before she destroys the planet. It's Liz. How are you, Liz?
I am excellent, thank you. And if I destroy the planet, it's only because you feckers have it coming to you.
Fair enough, Liz, fair enough. Now, 90s action queen, Liz. You must have been excited about doing this film, right?
Oh, so much. I actually could barely remember it. I'm sure I've seen it. I vaguely had a recollection of there being some drills and an asteroid, and that was about it. So, yeah, thrilled to be getting the opportunity to watch it again.
Excellent. Well, joining you is a man who's read my screen, and he knows how he's about to be introduced, because I can see him cringing already. But we are joined by a man who has definitely dropped his nuclear payload down a deep hole in the tail end of an asteroid. It's Kahu. How are you, Kahu?
Yeah, I don't really know how to follow that up, but I'm doing well. There's a lot of hidden meaning in there, I feel, Sam.
Absolutely.
He's got space dementia.
The things that come out of your mind, Sam, sometimes are just baffling.
Yeah, no shit. No shit. It's fucking surprised that I managed to convince a woman to marry me, to be honest. And stay.
We all are.
Anywho, enough of me and my personal life. Let's talk about this film. Let's talk about Armageddon. It has a score of 6.7 out of 10 on IMDb, 38% on Rotten Tomatoes, 42% on Metacritic. Most people know this film. You know it stars Ben Affleck, Bruce Willis, a whole bunch of other people. You guys know the general plot. Some drillers are sent to space. They've got to blow up an asteroid before it hits the Earth. Let's get into it. If you haven't heard this podcast before, what we do is we review a movie by asking 20 questions about it. We start with 10 that can be applied to any film. We then finish on a question from our Patreons, because we've got a couple of high-level Patreons that supply us questions. We ask a couple of those during the first 10, and then we finish on one. The one we always start with, compliment sandwich. One thing good, one thing bad, one thing good. If we are positive about this film, or if we didn't like it, we give it the shit sandwich, which is one thing bad, one thing good, one thing bad. Liz is shrugging. She can go first. I feel like I already know her answer, but you guys don't. You guys don't, listeners. What is it, Liz? What's your sandwich?
A good thing about this film was that it was a straightforward story and quite a good idea for a plot line. You know, there was some things you could do with that. A bad thing about this film is that it was sexist as fuck. Like, the entire film, I even messaged Stacey halfway through and went, is it just me or is this film sexist as fuck? And then we had a whole conversation about it being sexist as fuck. My least favorite line on that point was where Harry turns to Truman and goes, after Truman's like said, oh no, this is the only idea we have. He's like, you must have a whole table of men coming up with ideas. Oh, you couldn't throw us a people? You couldn't put in a geniuses? No, it had to be men coming up with the ideas. So, yeah, that pissed me off.
Sam and I actually talked about that when they had kind of the president's boardroom and the NASA boardroom. Mm-hmm. All men apart from, like, a couple of tokens.
And white men.
All white men. There was, one or two black people in the crowd. Just all, like a sea of white dudes.
Yeah. I was like, is this the Trump administration? Like, what the fuck?
But, like, not just sexist, like, openly racist as well.
100%.
Tons of just casual racism. Mm-hmm. I forgot the 90s was a wild fucking time.
Hideous.
Yeah. Asian tourist number one.
Yeah,
absolutely. Like, fully anti anything that wasn't American white man type thing. Yeah. My final point is also a negative one. Did I trick you? It's a shit sandwich. All of the characters were unlikable. All of them. I didn't like anyone. So in that case, I am going to give this movie 3,101 out of 10,000 Earth-destroying asteroids.
Interesting.
Well, they put a bit of money in it. There was some good explosion-y things and stuff, but so I felt like I couldn't give it like 1,000, but there was so much wrong with this movie. So much more than I expected to be wrong with this movie.
What about you, Kahu?
Yeah, I'm almost on the same wavelength there. A bad thing the CGI is just terrible.
It's
just
so bad.
Yes.
And you can tell as well because the transitions from the CGI to, I guess, live action is just really poor. And like just about everything in this film, it just hasn't dated well at all. I've got a second bad thing, and maybe this is just a Michael Bay thing, but the editing is terrible. Like conversations just sort of get cut off in the middle, and especially at the end with all the action scenes, it's just cut after cut after cut after cut, and it's just like, wow.
Impossible to follow.
Yeah.
Stop reading my screen, Kahu.
And the last thing, which so I'm kind of unsure if it's good or bad, but I think Bruce Willis in this film is actually not too bad, but I'm going to qualify that and that we've become so used to him over the last 20 years being really bad.
Yeah.
And so I can sort of see the cracks appearing in his performance in this film, I think.
It's like if you got smoked in the balls, or like, no, somebody just punched you in the balls 20 times and then they suddenly like just give you like a soft tap. You're like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It still sucks, but you're like, oh, that wasn't as bad as getting punched.
Yeah. So whether that's a good or a bad thing, take it how you will. So I feel like I have to give a slightly higher score than Liz then, and I'm going to go for 3,500 global killer asteroids.
The good thing for me is, yeah, the action scenes, some of them are awesome. The CGI lets it down, but like Michael Bay knows how to shoot action, right? This is forte.
Does he though?
Yeah, he does. Like he knows how to do a good explosion. I'll put that. You know, even an asteroid that has no reason having explosions happening in the background, he still puts them in there. He knows how to use them. Knows how to generate tension. So I'll give him that. The bad thing that you guys haven't mentioned: this is so fucking long. This is 2.5 hours.
I actually ask a question about it later. So I that was my third negative point. I thought, no, I can complain about how long it is later.
Because I don't want to spoil your answer for later. All I'll say is that an hour into the movie, we were like, oh, sweet, they're off to space. And we paused it and we saw that it was an hour in and they still had an hour and a half to go. Uh-huh. And me, Stacey and Kahu, who watched it last night, were like, what the fuck is going on?
Mm-hmm.
Like they've got another hour and a half of the shit. Holy fucking God.
I did literally the same thing. Paused when they went off to space and went, oh, so they must get on the asteroid and that must all be pretty easy. Oh, no. We've got such long time. Oh.
My score, here's the thing, is that we don't have deep philosophical debate in this, and I have a hard time scoring these films because when I first watched this when it came out, I would have given the 7,000, 8,000, something like that. And I feel like some of these films, if you've watched them every year or two and kept up with them and you haven't had this distant separation between them, that you go back and rewatch something that you haven't seen in 20 years, you know, you start seeing all the holes in it, you know what I mean? Mm. Like, I feel like if you continually, I don't know, been adapted to it, you sort of, you know, like it. So there was a part of me that wanted to give a compliment sandwich, but it's not that. It's 4,000. No, it's not. It's 3,499. It's slightly less than Kahu. I found myself whinging more than Kahu, which is par for the course anyway, but I've got to go less than Kahu. It's not a good film, guys. It's really not.
Which shocked me. Like, I mean, I didn't expect it to be great, but I thought I'd give it like 6,000 or 7,000, you know? No.
Yeah, it's one of these things where, like, obviously we give it a score based on what that type of film is. So, you know, like a Marvel film can have a hyperbole sandwich just like Citizen Kane can for me. And for a film that you switch your brain off and enjoy just for the action, sure. But when it's this movie, like you can't turn your brain off. You've got to give yourself a fucking lobotomy to enjoy this type of film. Sorry to anybody enjoying this, but...
What really blows my mind about it is that Deep Impact came out at the same time and did worse. And to me, Deep Impact is actually pretty good. I didn't mind Deep Impact, although I haven't watched it in a while, so maybe it's just as terrible.
Yeah, we talked about that too.
Yeah, I want to go back and watch it now to see if I think, you know, if my opinions have changed.
Yeah, maybe if they had positioned this film more... a bit more comedic, like Independence Day, you know, might have worked a bit
better. The genre was really confusing because it felt like it was supposed to be this big smash-up action thing, but then it had this whole romantic current thing going through, and then it felt like it was meant to be a comedy, except I didn't really laugh, so I'm not really sure what was going on there.
Yeah, I think the comedy was a bit unintentional.
A lot of jokes that have not aged very well, like...
No.
She never told me her age. You know, stuff like that. It's like,
oh, what? Dude.
What the fuck? No. No thanks.
No. Absolutely not.
Anywho, let's move us over to our questions. We start with we start our questions now with three quickfire questions, and the first of which, Stacey's favourite. How would you guys have incorporated Nicolas Cage into this film?
All right, I'm going to make him a different driller. So he's going to be one of the drillers, and I just tell him to improvise as the biggest weirdo that he could, and I think he'd fit right in.
What about you, Ko?
At the beginning where Stamper's hitting the golf balls, I reckon it would have been awesome if Nick Cage was one of those activists and could have just been like, you know, throwing shit at Stamper across the ocean.
And like really losing his shit about it. It's brilliant.
Yeah. The one for me, as much as I appreciated Peter Stormare, I would have had him replace Peter Stormare as the crazy Russian.
Yeah.
The crazy Russian who's lost his mind and gone a bit crazy. For those playing at home, Stacey's answer was, you should have put him in here as one of the main characters, because then this film would make a lot more sense. Because you'd be like, hey, it's Nicolas Cage. That makes sense.
Yeah. Oh, okay. That's why it's all completely insane. Yep.
Yep. Absolutely. Next one, which character would you guys definitely not lend $100 to?
It's got to be Steve Buscemi's character, the Hound, right? Yeah. Like, he's the least trustworthy. Literally, he goes and, what is he? He borrows $100,000 from a really dodgy loan shark before he goes off to space.
Yep.
And then it's like, shit, I spent it. What did he spend? Oh, that was kind of funny. He spent it on a hooker named Maria Mountains or something.
Misty Mounds.
Yeah. That was kind of funny.
The only other one that I had, I mean, he was the obvious choice. The only other one was Chick, you know, the guy that loves gambling. Pulled out of Vegas and he's playing the craps table.
Yeah. I mean, you really could have had any of them. I mean, highly risky mission. Very unlikely you're going to get your money back.
That's good true. Point.
The final one of our quickfire round, what line from this film would be the worst thing to hear immediately after you finish having sex?
You got some kind of backup plan, right?
I like that. Even though Steve Buscemi, like his character, had a bunch of the really creepy lines, I think he did actually have the best lines. Like, he came up with some great one-liners. My favourite for this answer is, this place is like Dr. Seuss's worst nightmare.
Yeah,
I saw that one. Yeah, that was good.
I also have a Buscemi line, which is from the strippers, when he hands that guy some money and goes, why don't you go buy yourself a neck? As someone who doesn't have a neck, that hits pretty close to home.
There. Sam. At least you'd make some money out of it.
Good point. Anywho, that moves us over to the first of our Patreon questions. This question comes courtesy of our man, Chris Yeeney. You're the fucking man, Chris. What's his question there, Liz?
All right, Chris wants to know what song you'd insert into this movie and where, and I'd note that we usually try and go as on the nose as possible, so what do you guys got for me?
I've got a Kaleo song, Way Down We Go, when they start drilling on the asteroid. I was thinking about that just then, actually, and they're kind of not drilling very deep at all, and then all of a sudden they're basically at 800 feet. Like, that was weird.
Yeah, that was the only weird thing about this whole movie that totally didn't make sense.
Yeah, that's literally the only thing, yeah. They never fucked with time at all during this film. In fact, I've got a question about that later coming up. That makes no sense, time-related. But yeah, they never fucked around with the idea of concept of time. No, never.
The time in this film was completely insane. Like, why didn't they just make any of the time periods longer? Because it would have made way more sense. Like, everything happened so quickly that they're trying to turn everything around in, like, 1 minute or, you know, 1 day, and you're like, to be honest, you could have extended all of these, like tripled all of the time amounts, and it would have been a more reasonable movie.
It was very loose of how fast the asteroid was going when they were in space. It started increasing, but then they still had heaps of time to do all their shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was, pays not to think about it.
The timing of the whole movie was just terrible.
It was fucking insane, eh?
Yeah.
It was fucking insane. I mean, it was the editing, right? They had to keep it choppy and choppy and choppy like an action film. And I could talk about this for hours. Let's move on to me. My answer, at one point there when he's on the asteroid, one of his crew dies and Bruce Willis picks up a handful of asteroid dust and then sort of looking at it. So I was imagining Kansas's Dust in the Wind. All we are is dust in the wind.
Nice.
I was like, yeah, that would have been perfect. That would have been an asteroid that has wind on it, by the way, guys. No friction in space, but this fucking asteroid has wind on it.
Nice.
And explosions.
I just need to sing a bass line and prove that mine is the best answer. Actually, is it a bass line? I don't know. The melody. Da 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 da. Oh, wait, no. Is that how that goes? No, I just put another song in my head. Okay, you have to cut that out.
Back, no.
Yeah, okay.
He's got space dementia.
No, I can't sing it. I give up. It's The Final Countdown by Europe. Is that the song?
Yeah.
I heard it and I thought, no, you're singing like the Rocky song or something. That's, oh, that is the one. Yeah. Like when they're approaching the very last point of no return and like they're waiting for Harry to push the button, it's like, it's the final countdown. That would have been awesome.
They could have actually had that as a bit of a theme when they tried to activate the bomb remotely, but then they manually turned it off. So they could have just had it as a bit of a gag, just kept on coming in, but it wasn't quite there yet.
Yeah, but they could have used that actually about 5 times in the film of the, oh my God, everything's going wrong and we're all about to die. Yeah.
Disappointing they haven't. Let's edit the film and see what happens when we do that.
Yeah, totally.
No, actually, I'm done with this film, to be honest, guys. I don't know what the fuck I'm fucking talking about here. Next question, also Patreon question, comes courtesy of our man Dave Baker. Dave is his own Patreon as well at patreon.com/yourfavorite. On it, he posts a ton of awesome content, video essays, he says on Medium, YouTube recommendations, whole bunch of good stuff. There's a link down in the show notes. What's this question, Kahu?
The question for number 6 is, what 2 characters would you want with you at a house party?
I love how I've picked this question because there's literally no one in this film that you really would want with you at a house party. So I've gone Liv Tyler's character. I've already forgotten her name. Oh, going to go up here. I feel sorry for her because she is literally there to be the emotional linchpin and she doesn't have much of an emotional range to that in this fucking film. She's just standing around trying her best to look pretty and remorseful over what's happening. But I still think she's the most sane one out of everybody there.
Oh, God, yeah.
So I was going to agree with her. And then a guy that gets unceremoniously killed and no one seems to give a shit. I'm going with Owen Wilson's character of Oscar. He seems like fun.
No. God,
he's got parking tickets in 7 states, Liz. That's the kind of guy you want to party with, isn't it?
He's Owen Wilson. He literally plays the same character in every single film. And honestly, when they land on the moon or the space or whatever they did, with the, and he's just blathering away as soon as he takes his helmet off, I was like, I bet all those astronauts are like, can we just super glue his helmet on so we don't have to listen to him talk?
You kind of, there was one part where we talked about you could literally paste that scene into Zoolander and he's talking about space flight and going, we go here and here and here.
It was the Zoolander audition tape.
100% was
Hanso.
People
need to see this. Yeah, it was.
Right? Yeah.
Hanso, yeah.
It was insane. Yeah.
AJ cared. AJ cried about him for like a whole minute of time that I didn't need to spend watching him doing that.
That's true. That's true.
Yeah.
Shout out to Machio. I was going to chuck in here Misty Mounds, bro, just for you. But
yeah. Ding, ding. We have a winner.
Yeah.
I agree, Sam. They're all fucking terrible. I think I'm going to go actually probably Billy Bob Thornton's character. And how often do you say that? Because
fucking never.
He's a douche. But he actually seemed okay. I thought if you're having a barbecue and you had him over a couple of beers, he'd be all right, which shocking.
He did kind of creep on Liv Tyler a couple of times, though.
Oh, yeah.
True, actually.
It looked like he was looking up his skirt at one point. It was a bit weird.
Oh, I missed that bit. Thank God, because, oh, God. Okay, well, I still picked him. And because really, they're all sleazy creepos, so it doesn't really matter. Oh, Oscar, another weird thing about Oscar, where he's like, well, you know, Grace, I know what it's like to be her age and have hormones running through my body. The fuck are you talking about? She's like in her mid-20s and she's like a put-together woman. I was like, what are you even talking about?
And he doesn't look that massively older as well.
No. Are you talking about the scene where him and Bear and all these other guys start talking about how she wants to be exploring her body and all this other
stuff? Oh, yeah.
They're saying this to Bruce Willis, who the day before they saw chasing a dude around with a fucking shotgun and they're like, oh, let's talk to this dude about how much his daughter wants to get fucked.
Oh, it was so ridiculous. However, I am going to invite one of the drillers and that is Bear, which is like who's the actor?
Michael Clark Duncan.
Yes, thank you, Michael Clark Duncan.
Him and his tank top. That's what you want. Him and his little tank top when he's getting psychologically tested or whatever.
Yeah, when he's doing like the dancing on the table whatever. That was actually kind of funny. I was like, all right. He can come for some light entertainment at my barbecue.
That's what you want. A massive dude getting his ass out at your barbecue. That's exactly what you want, Liz.
He was pretty wrapped, to be fair.
Yeah.
Did he die?
Yeah, he died. Oh, yeah. No. Didn't. He was still alive. I'm now changing my answer given how much we've worked out Owen sucks. I'm going to go with the female NASA
military
pilot.
Yeah. The other, you mean the one other woman in the film?
The one other woman in the film whose sole purpose was to get punched out of the way by the Russian because all the components are made in Taiwan.
Yeah.
Sexism and racism in one scene.
Woo!
Double down.
Yeah.
That's a good segue to my answer. I also had beer. Good call there. But yeah, Peter Stormare's character.
The Crazy Russian.
Yeah, Lev Andropov. I reckon be a bundle of fun. Some good cheap vodka from somewhere.
Oh, like the way they treated that whole thing, like so anti-Russia. It was ridiculous.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a classic Michael Bay thing, eh, to show the American flag.
America!
Yeah, yeah.
American flag all over the place. Nowhere else in the world is launching up its own mission to try and save the planet.
Yeah, yeah.
This was the most America film I've ever seen. Like,
yeah, Shanghai gets wiped out. Paris gets wiped out. Let's just get rid of anywhere but America. You know, New York scares a couple of pebbles.
Yeah, they talk about it being a joint mission with like the European, Japanese and Russian space agencies. They're all American. American shuttles. Like,
yeah.
Why? It's totally why is it a joint mission? Yeah.
I mean, I just got to point out, like, as much as Steve Buscemi is a complete piece of shit, when he gets space dementia, I'd probably want that guy. I almost finished it.
That was the best line of the entire movie. Sam and I both cracked up when
space dementia.
William Fichtner goes deadpan face. He's got space dementia.
Yeah, okay, that's a thing.
Yeah.
Well, Billy Fichtner should have been given an Oscar for delivering that line and not losing his shit. You know what I mean? Like, how much talent does that take?
I actually did like Billy Fichtner a bunch of it. Like, I liked him at the start where it was just like, hey, these guys all train for like 3 years. You have 12 days. Let's try and make it so you don't completely fuck up everything. I was like, legit cool.
Yeah.
I just want to shake the hand of the daughter of the most bravest man I've ever met.
Another what a Oscar load Wibby. Of bollocks.
Another reason why you should have won an Oscar, poor guy.
Yeah.
Anywho, let's move us over to question number 7. What was the biggest dick move in this film?
You actually brought it up just before for me. It was Harry shooting at AJ with the shotgun. What the actual fuck was that? Was that meant to be funny?
On an oil rig.
But like this is a grown man that he knows well and he loves and stuff. And then his daughter's a grown-ass woman. And oh my God, she's having sex, a nice committed relationship sex with another dude who has a job and is a like all of it. I was just like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Like, it really angered me. I was angry for the rest of the film based solely on that fucking ridiculous thing.
Listeners, we don't usually get to watch films together, so it was quite a treat for me and Kahu to watch last night. And we did debate a question on how early into this film should all of the characters in this movie have died. And we did think the oil rig's too much of an obvious answer. Like, you're shooting a shotgun off on an oil rig. How are you not blowing the entire fucking thing to sky high? And Greenpeace would just sit there laughing at you as burning corpses fall into the fucking ocean.
Yeah. Because no one would be sad about it. Oh, no, I'd be sad if Grace died at that point because she was the only one that seemed even vaguely reasonable.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Oh, such a stupid fucking scene.
What about you, Co?
Short answer, AJ Frost. Don't like Ben Affleck. Don't like when he talks in movies. Don't like when he makes expressions. Don't like when he gets upset.
So just
don't like Ben Affleck.
Ben Affleck is your answer for the biggest dick move. Legit. I'm not judging that. Seems fair.
I feel like let's rule out all the obvious ones, which is 99% of the film. And I'm just going to go over the one when Ben Affleck's underwater and he doesn't follow instructions, even though he's being told not to. You know, but like the reason why I say this is the biggest dick move is like leading up to this, he's like, hey, I'm a stand up guy. And hey, you know, like I want to take care of your daughter. And hey, and you know, you're supposed to like start rooting for this guy.
Yeah,
and
you'll trust me.
Yeah, you trust me. And then immediately gets underwater and then doesn't follow instructions of NASA and Bruce Willis. And you're just like, what the fuck? Like, it's such a minor thing, given that the rest of the movie is complete dick moves. And take your pick, really. I just want to chuck that one out there. Next question, also a Patreon question, comes courtesy of our man Dan Brennick of Netflix and Swill. I was over on that podcast recently talking The Witcher Season 2. Awesome podcast. Also have been on his missus's podcast, Rabbit Ears. That'll be out in a week's time. Had a great time with Ashley on there talking about Jessica Jones. So, two of my favourite things, the Witcher Universe and the Marvel Universe. Anyway, what's this question, Liz?
All right. He wants to know who the true MVP of the film is. It can't be the main, so I am going to make the executive decision to rule out Harry, Grace, or AJ.
Lev Andropov again. Peter Stormare. He saves them on the space station.
Does he, though?
Well, I don't know.
It's kind of his fault that it all starts blowing up.
It's kind of his fault, but he does save AJ, although maybe he shouldn't have. That would have been better. And he kind of solves the whatever the issue they had near the end.
Oh, it jump starts the engines,
yeah. By pushing the
pilot away, but you know.
Yeah.
We'll and that. He did the one on the armadillo or whatever that comes up. Like, he helped fix the engine there too, didn't he?
Mm. Yeah.
Okay, I'll allow it.
Sandy. An armadillo, which has a Gatling gun strapped to the front of it.
Yes.
Because if you're going to go to space, you better be prepared for aliens.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
I fucking love when they're like, wait, what have you got a... Why do you have a gun in space? I was like, that is a legitimate question. Like, what the fuck?
Hey, have you considered coming on the podcast Movie Reviews in 20 Qs?
Yeah.
You'd be great on the show.
Clearly hadn't evaluated the risk of space dementia very well.
Right. Oh, yeah. I did forget about space dementia in my assessment of that moment. Okay. What about you, Sam?
I'm just going to go with the dude who defied the government and cut the uplink. You know, the guy that listened to Billy Bob Thornton and went, you know what? Fuck it. I'm surrounded by government officials. Screw it. Gave them that extra minute they needed to convince Billy Fichtner that maybe don't fucking the government blow you up. Not when you're sitting there and you've got the ability to self-detonate and do other options. Maybe don't listen to the government, you fucking morons.
No, 100%. I literally wrote the dude who casually committed treason in front of an entire military unit to stop the nuke going off. Like, that's badass. That's a badass motherfucker. And it was just like a wee computer nerd, and they came over and they were like, you must cease and desist. And he's like, oh, yeah, all right then. And then just like lets them sit down. I was like, pretty sure they would have had him like on the ground with like a gun at his head. But okay.
Yeah.
Our second to last Patreon question comes courtesy of our man Nick Haskins of Nikolai's Kitchen, a cooking podcast that's more than that. It's all about life and being good to yourself and each other. Anyway, what's the question there, Kahu?
What type of meal is this film?
This is a burger and chips from like a takeaway restaurant. So in New Zealand, we have fish and chips restaurant, which are usually really cheap, or Chinese restaurants that are really cheap that sell every type of food you can imagine. And you go in there and you think to yourself, I've never eaten here before. I'm on holiday in some small town. Don't know where the fuck I am. Burger and chips. It's impossible to fuck up a burger and chips, isn't it? And then they do. They make this sloppy mess that tastes like it's been marinated with the blood of a cat that's been dead for 45 days and roasting outside.
And the sun.
Except less flavour.
Oh, except less flavour than that. Yeah.
Because there's bland. No flavour. Yeah.
A very bland cat that's been rotting in the sun for 45 days.
That's a disgusting analogy, but okay.
He's got space dementia.
I'm going with a hot dog full of M&Ms. Like, it's
what
just
the fuck?
Too murica to be any good. Like, it's just too much murica for me.
Covered with fake cheese out of a can.
Yes. Oh, I should have thought of, is it cheese whip or whatever?
Yeah. Cheese whip. Yeah.
Just basically if you stuck all of the American foods you could think of. Maybe chuck all of those things in a blender as well. I don't know. It was a friggin' shit show.
Blend them, deep fry them, cover them in barbecue sauce. Now you're cooking. Try that on your podcast, Nick. I will fuck that. No, I will not try and make that.
It did almost give me some stomach ache, so that's probably a good cool.
It did make me shit my pants, so yeah.
I've got a waiter serving you five courses of fast food. So you've got like McDonald's, KFC, pizza, something else straight after that. But even more, like, you take a slice of pizza, they whip it away from you, bring you the next thing. Have a bite of your KFC, they take it all away again, so you don't actually get to enjoy any of it because it's just moving on.
Some dude just comes up to you with a hot dog and just slams you in the face.
Yeah,
gets the hot dog, starts shoving it in and out of your mouth, like basically throat fucking you, then throwing it away, and then you're like, what the fuck is going on? And then it gets slammed with something else.
Okay.
He's got space dementia.
I've got to stop day drinking, guys.
You went off. I think you might have space dementia.
I think I do have space dementia. This movie's given me space dementia. Moves us down to our final question that can be applied to any film. What unimportant life lesson did you guys learn from this film?
Okay. If you're sending people on a mission to literally save the world, you need to make sure that you put enough women in the group to balance out all of the testosterone-filled male posturing.
I'm just going to cut in here because I'm on a very similar line to you. My one is that don't take your daughter on an oil rig full of dudes.
No, don't take your daughter on an oil rig of dudes and then get annoyed when she decides to have sex with one of them. It's her fucking choice.
Yeah, absolutely it's her choice. Absolutely.
Yeah.
But like, what the fuck is he thinking? You know what I mean? Like, he's an idiot.
What did he happen?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, totally. Like, I trust my daughter. I just don't trust those dudes. As we see in the movie, they're fucking terrible people.
Yeah, I also had don't take your daughters to work.
Just don't take your kids to work.
Yeah,
don't take your kids to work.
Yeah. No.
Exactly. That's it.
I was just gobsmacked by what her childhood would have been like. Did what? She studied by correspondence or something, or go to boarding school? Or
she talks about how she had to go into Taipei to get products for when she had her first, lady time.
And Harry gets angry at the Hound because he helped her understand how to use her tampons. And I was like, legit that Grace should be angry because the dad should be sorting that. And B, why would you sexualize using a tampon? Like, oh my Lord.
I know. This film is
My Lord. Like, so much of it was so terrible.
There's quite a few unimportant life lessons to learn from this film. And I feel like we're going to get dumber if we bring up any more.
So can we move on to me and my questions?
Let's just do that. What do you got, Liz?
I was wondering what you think would have been the worst bit of the training that the drillers had to go through.
Probably listening to Steve Buscemi all day. Listening to the Hound. Ben Affleck wouldn't have been much more fun either, to be honest.
Yeah. I don't know if they really showed it, but it'd be those anti-G machines, and they spin them round and round and you get funny face going on and then people pass out. It would have been no fun.
I thought it was the flights, when they're in the flights and they're going all up and around the place and whatever. I'm sorry, I could not handle that. There'd be vomit everywhere.
I got side-eyed from Stacey during that scene because I watched it and I was like, man, I always wanted to be a fighter pilot. I just got the side eye of Stacey like, you fucking wouldn't last 10 seconds.
Good call out. Actually, when I think about that question, I feel like there was at least half an hour's worth of time spent showing them training, and I can't really think of what they did.
Well, it does lead into your next question quite well, Liz.
Yes, that's true, actually. My next question was, what would you have cut to make this movie shorter?
Almost everything on the oil rig. Like, the... Mm-hmm. I don't know what that whole drilling sequence was supposed to prove. Like...
Just that they're
expert drillers.
Nobody died, but yeah, they're supposed to be experts, but like they're basically like flinging oil all over Greenpeace. Didn't inspire a lot of confidence. And like most of the shuttle flight sequence as well. It's just like, I mean, it was kind of cool, but.
But the effects were terrible for that as well.
Yeah. And like the fact they launched them both at the same time, which is super safe.
Yeah.
Right
next to each other.
Oh,
yeah.
God. almost forgot about that. The one for me, I mean, like, yeah, as I mentioned, we got to the hour point and it was like we've still got an hour and a half of this to go. I feel like we could have cut the refueling scene, just have the random Russian, like, reduced to, like, a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, they just stopped in, picked them up, keep going, stay on point. Yeah. It's funny you bring this up, Liz, because I know you like a good bit of length, but it's got to be the right amount of length, eh? Too long and it's just annoying, eh, Liz?
I'm not even going to dignify that with an answer, Sam, but I was going to say I agree with you on the part about the space station. Like, honestly, could have cut the whole space station bit out.
Yeah.
They didn't even need the Russian. I know what you're trying to do there. I'm still ignoring you. I don't care.
He's got space dementia.
How shabby did the space station look? Like, there was shit everywhere.
Yeah, because Russians. They're not as good as the Americans.
But it was so ridiculous because, like, that guy got to be an astronaut, of all things. Like, the idea that he would be that unprofessional, that irked me the whole way through. I was like, I get that he could be a bit weird for being alone for 18 months, fine. But don't make him, like, an actual bumbling shithead.
Yeah.
I didn't get how... Like, the fuel pod was at the far end of the space station. It just seemed real convoluted to get to it. I didn't see why they couldn't have just shot up a fuel pod into orbit and just docked with it and collected it and been on their way.
Oh, fuck, guys.
Like, so much safer.
Oh, I think I do have space dementia. I now feel like I need to start defending this film. Something's happening inside me, guys.
No,
I was going to argue with you, Kahu. Oh, man, what is happening to me?
They've been able to dock in space since the bloomin' 60s, so,
Yeah, exactly.
With that space station scene, why the fuck were the drillers on the space station anyway? They should have just been kept in their seats. They were completely... Yeah. Like, why would you get the guys that barely know how to be on a spaceship anywhere other than, like, literally their seats until they got to the point they had to start drilling, because that's what I would have done. Locked in.
We've managed to, fucking through engineering and science, we've managed to conquer space. Let's have a bunch of dum-dums wandering around. They have no idea what fucking's going to happen when they push one of these buttons.
Anything does what anything is. Yeah. Hey, come on board. Oh, that guy wants your help. go help him with this complicated space thing. So yeah,
to,
like literally.
Not to mention Michael Clark Duncan and that other big dude, you know, they're just going to bump into stuff.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so literally so nonsensical, which takes me through to my final question, which is, was there anything in this movie that actually was kind of realistic?
Okay, so some people on Twitter would have seen my favorite piece of trivia about this film, which is that during filming, Ben Affleck approached Michael Bay and said, wouldn't it be smarter to train NASA astronauts to drill rather than train drillers to be astronauts? To which Michael Bay replied, shut up, Ben. which I thought was pretty funny. And then they tried to explain it in this film. But the other awesome bit of trivia that was ahead of that on IMDb was that new astronauts, when they sign up at NASA, now get shown this movie and they have to find things wrong with it. And currently they're sitting at 168 things that are scientifically wrong in this film.
Are you serious? That's
which
so
is
cool.
Amazing. So the only thing here, guys, that I think is real is that I'm pretty sure strippers like dudes that throw around a ton of money.
Yeah, okay, I'll buy that part. Yeah, that's
fair. That was realistic.
What about you, Kai?
Yeah. Space dimensions are a real thing.
That is true.
I actually Googled it because I was like, no, they are not saying that. And I Googled it and it was like, this is a fictional space disease shown in multiple movies. And I was like, yep, okay, good. That's good.
Bullshit, it's real. Sure. Yeah. Anywho, that moves me over to my questions. As we see at the start of the film, when these guys all, you know, like when Harry gets taken away to chat to NASA, all the drillers, they all get split up, go their own separate ways. Some of them go gambling, some of them trying to outrun the cops on their motorcycles or on their horse. But the one that I'm most impressed with, AJ, we cut to a shot of him and he set up his own oil rig company. And yeah, I want to know how. I want to know how, guys. How did AJ start his own drilling company within 24 hours?
I mean, like, I think it was that maybe he already had it or he just had a big bunch of cash and he bought it off somebody.
He said to him, I want to start my own company one day. We know for a fact he didn't have it.
Yeah, maybe he just had a big bunch of cash and bought it that very day and made it look old with some old signs. I don't know.
Yeah, he managed to age paint. That was quite impressive. Painted a new sign, then aged it.
Yeah.
I think he just really wanted to impress Harry so that he could marry his daughter. And he thought, well, how can I do that? And he said, oh, I want to show him that I can be something. So I need to have my own oil drilling company. So he just went and found a sign and found an abandoned oil rig or oil drilling platform or whatever, and then stuck the sign in front of it and then went, here we go, this is my own company.
He's his own man.
See, Harry, I did it. It's me. I did it. I got a company. I'm a big
boy. If Harry
boy.
Didn't hang around for five more minutes, some old dude would have come out and go, who the fuck are you? What are you doing on my land?
He literally just like probably cut the, you know, like cut like a padlock with like, you know, bolt cutters and then like snuck inside and then went, yeah, I totally work here. This is all about me. Oh, look at the sign that I totally didn't just make right now. Yeah.
Awesome. My next question, there's a very infamous scene with animal crackers, which they discuss and aren't really crackers, they're more biscuits. I want to know from you guys, how horny would you guys get if somebody shoved a biscuit down your underwear?
For me, it really depends on who is doing the shoving of the biscuit, because like if it's Ben Affleck, then not really. But if it's Tom Hardy, well, then the biscuit's really irrelevant, to be honest. Like, it's Tom Hardy. That's it. That's my answer.
I was going to say something, but I won't.
Any particular type of biscuit, like Afghan, a chocolate chip, a brownie?
No, the biscuit is irrelevant. I don't get it. Oh, brownie. Soggy biscuit? Oh, brownie. Okay, I don't know, man. I'm too...
This is getting worse. He's got space dementia.
He's got space dementia.
What about you, Kahu? How horny would you get if I shoved a biscuit down your ass?
No, not if it was you at all.
No.
What if it was Tom Hardy, Kahu?
I guarantee if it was Sam, I would not.
Oh, just not very at all. It sounds gross. Like, I don't want to mix my food and that. I was definitely just stop talking, Ben Affleck. Yep. I don't want to listen to you anymore.
Mm-hmm. Or should
for the
he
rest
heads.
Of the movie.
Or should he head south? He's got lost in the bush. Huh? Oh,
God. Yeah, what he was didn't... that accent he was doing
Australian.
There?
Australian. Australian.
It was weird. He was kind of trying to be an Australian David Attenborough.
But this is what I think. Like, all accents sound weird to them. So it doesn't matter if it's Australian or English. They sound exactly the same. Yeah. So he's trying to do David Attenborough, which he thinks is Australian. But, oh, it's Steve Irwin? Is it Steve Irwin?
Yeah, maybe. It didn't even look like he was the one saying it. I felt like it was dubbed in over him talking.
Probably was Michael Bay dubbing it.
Yeah.
God. Okay, anyway, final scene, we see Peter Stormare cruising out of the spaceship straight after they land. 10 seconds before, we've seen him on the spaceship wearing his Russian astronaut outfit. When he lands, he's wearing an American spacesuit, brand new, sparkly, flash one, comes storming out of the plane with the rest of them. How and why did Peter Stormare, you've said his character name about 7 times this
Lev.
Fucking episode. Lev, there we go.
Andropov.
Still passed, it's still gone out, out of my brain.
He's got space dementia.
How did he get into an American spacesuit right at the end? How and why?
I mean, he's defected. I mean, there's so much patriotism in this film, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
America!
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 Yeah, like, I was thinking either he's, like, just too embarrassed by how terrible Russia is portrayed in this film to be, you know, showing up as a Russian. He's like, God, no, look at us, we're a hot mess, so I can't be seen as Russian. Or the Americans literally were like, we can't have it seem like anyone but America was involved in this, so we're going to need you to put on this American spacesuit, please.
True, yeah.
It's like the whole, if you can't beat them, join them thing.
Mm. Absolutely. Cool, okay. Kahu, you're up.
Okay, straight into my first question, and it's what's creepier, Liv Tyler's screen dad watching them getting intimate in a metal cone, or Liv Tyler's real dad singing the song that they're boning to?
Can I go with both?
Sam's words, not mine, for some of that question.
Just want to rewrite it for you. Can I just go with both? It's fucking creepy as fuck. All of it's creepy.
You can definitely go with both.
Yeah,
it's
thank you.
It's definitely creepy. And it's just a weird fucking song to have as the lead song for the smashy smash action movie. Like, it was all really weird and creepy and I just don't really like this film, guys.
I had no idea. I never would have guessed.
I was really trying to hold it back, but it's true. I just don't.
The truth comes out. You know, it's funny because we record these things and then we get to the end and quite often we're like, should we change our scores? Can we even remember our scores? I feel like if we asked us again at the end of this, whether we'd give this a hyperbole shit sandwich of 3 bad things and a score of under 0, I feel like we're pretty much on track. We've only got a couple of minutes before it's too late, before the world gets fucking demolished, and I think we're gonna blow that before we become dust in the wind. But what's the next question?
I'm pretty confident of betting a lot of money that I'll never watch this movie again.
Same.
Okay, my second question: which of Harry's creepy friends walked Grace down the aisle?
It's got to be Chick, right?
He was the one that kind of had ditched his partner, eh?
Like, he was a douche, but he wasn't creepy.
Yeah.
And he, and like Harry says, oh, you know, I couldn't have done anything without you. So it feels like he specifically was like the best replacement or like the most.
Yeah, it kind of seems like they've maybe like worked together the longest or something or have the biggest friendship. I don't know.
I reckon it was Oscar.
He's got space dementia.
He died, man.
Yeah. So?
Grace,
you think
just
this movie gives a fuck about logic?
Grace just held his picture as she walked down the aisle.
No. They went back to the asteroid, found the half he was on, brought it back. He was like, hey, guys, whoa, it was crazy. Like, things went through my face and everything. And here I am. And then walks it down the aisle. This movie makes no fucking sense. Why not?
I've just got to go into a bit about that first shuttle getting blown up. Like, it was like a car crash. They just went straight out the front window.
Yes.
Like, did anyone think that was weird? Like, surely they could get sucked out, but it didn't look like that at all. They just, like, went straight out the front.
I thought, I agree. And I also thought they spent way too long just showing a lot of really brutal, like, injuries happening to them and stuff. I was like, just suck them out and, okay, they're done. Like, we don't need to see them continuously getting smashed in the face and, you know, all gnarled up.
I mentioned this to Sam as well, and it was, okay, we're at the like critical part of the mission here, having to try and land on this jagged asteroid. But no, don't need to put your seatbelts on or your helmets. We'll be sweet.
Yeah.
It's funny because you guys actually brought up what was going to be my good thing, which is that they didn't worry about killing people. You know, like most action films, they just let people live or, you know, for way longer than they should. Like at least it was a little bit realistic in that regard, but not really.
And people that you didn't think would live did as well.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, exactly.
Back to our mate Chick again. Is saving the world the ultimate way to patch up any relationship?
That was pretty cute that we see his estranged wife or something like that and the kid that thought he was a salesman who now was like, my dad, I love you.
Yeah,
you know, like, you're a hero. I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm just gonna go, hell yeah. Like, nothing gets me hornier than and more forgiving than dudes who haven't showered in a little bit and covered in sweat and stinky and work on an oil rig. I mean, it just makes you really forgiving, you know?
Oh, I'm feeling a bit all flustered. Sounds great.
I bet.
I couldn't disagree more, though. I think that if one member of the relationship saves the world, then that relationship is doomed. Because any time the other one's like, oh, could you do the dishes? Or, oh, I'm annoyed at you because you didn't get me an anniversary present. The other partner's going to be like, bitch, I saved the world. Mm. I don't have to have done the dishes. They could just pull that out every single time for the rest of their lives. So they'd be absolutely insufferable.
I feel like you'd have a comeback, Liz. I know what you're like. I feel like if they threw it back in your face, if they're like, Leah, look, I saved the world, you'd be like, yeah, but have you fixed climate change? Yeah. Have you cured cancer? You know, I feel like you'd have a retort, Liz. I know
it'd be better than those ones, but I definitely would.
While you're off saving the world, I had to do all the dishes and vacuuming. Do you know how tired I was?
Yeah. Or how about, you may have saved the world, but you're not trying to save this family.
He's got space dementia.
You've all got space dementia. This whole podcast has space dementia.
I legitimately do feel like I have space dementia. So let's move us down to our final question and wrap this up before more weird shit comes out of my mouth. Final question comes courtesy of our man, Nerdrovert. You're the fucking man as well, bro. Love your work. He wants to know this week, when was the best time for a bathroom break? And we can't say a 2.5 hour long dump, okay, guys? We've got to go. We've got to try and answer this. It's similar to some of Liz's points about, you know, what parts could have been cut. But let's do it. What time would have been the perfect time for a bathroom break?
I actually do think, though, you could have gone to pee at any time in that movie and not lost the meaning, or, you know, because there are bits in other movies where you go, you could not skip that bit because that's crucial. All of this movie, you could have walked out, come back and been like, okay, so they're still doing the thing that's going to happen. That, you know, like they're still going to be having problems with stuff exploding. They're still going to be having people who are dying. They're still going to save the world. It's Liv Tyler and Ben Affleck are still going to bone at the end. But if I have to pick a bit, then I will go for the bit where they're doing all the technical drilling practice before they go up, because I didn't know what the fuck was going on. I didn't care.
It's like you've got a camera set up in my house, which I wouldn't be surprised if you did, because I got up and went for a pee twice during this film. I didn't ask anyone to pause it. I just got up and walked out. I don't remember what part I walked out on. I don't remember what part I walked back in on. I still got it.
Yeah. Oh, I constantly got distracted. It was like, oh shit, I'm watching a film. Because it was like, nah, I don't really care what's going on. I'm like, oh, have I missed anything? No, not really.
No.
Yeah, I mean, you could have missed most of the stuff on the oil rig, but specifically, they get to NASA, they get told what the problem is. You're like, sweet, they need to fix that. Skip all of that bit until they get to, say, the moon, and there's the conclusion of the film.
You could, but then you'd miss out on your Peter Stormare, and you liked Peter Stormare.
Yeah, but there's still Peter Stormare once they get around the moon.
Oh, I suppose, yeah, he's already there.
Yeah.
But you have no idea why he's there, but yeah.
Yeah, you'd just be like, I've picked up a hitchhiker.
Again, you know, it doesn't make it, yeah, exactly, space hitchhiker. Look, he was just hanging out. And,
okay,
yeah.
There's a random Russian on the ship now. Seems fine.
Yeah.
You just roll with it, wouldn't you?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, there was a lot of parts like that. One of them was the part where they're listing their... what they want, like their demands. I was like, I know I was being played for laughs, but I was just standing there going, oh my God, this is cringe.
Yeah.
He wants to spend a night in the White Horse. I'm like, come on, man.
Come on, man.
Yeah. What the fuck?
And it was so annoying because actually that could have been quite funny. Like you could absolutely have had some, like I would have been like, oh, I want to know what's really true at Area 51. Like I need to have a personalized trip. You could do cute things like that, but all of these were just kind of shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Get rid of my speeding, my parking fines. Make two girls, give them US citizenship, no questions asked. Shit like that was real weird.
Yeah.
The other one I was thinking was when Bruce Willis is like scolding them out for trying to do his drill, but they haven't done it right. And they're like trying to show Bruce Willis as this legend driller who's like designed his own drill. And all of that was like, that came across as really cringy humor as well, you know, because he's supposed to be like, I'm the fucking man. And you're like, oh my God, you look like a crybaby, you know?
Yeah.
Oh God, yes. Like he was just so toxic and shitty. Like he was just such a shitty person. And you're supposed to think he's this great dude by the end. And I'm just like, oh God, thank God you're dead.
Yeah.
Okay, we're not quite that much fun.
If we had controversial opinion, I mean, that was going to be one of my other questions, is like, Which one of these dudes should have stayed behind and blew up that asteroid?
Steve Buscemi. Tough one. It was wanted Steve to.
Like, space to meet you, man.
He was volunteering.
You couldn't trust him to, though.
Nah, you couldn't.
So they'd just be like, nah, sorry, guys.
I love that they keep looking at me. He's like, I'm on an asteroid. He's like, I'll do it. And they're like, so anyway. And he's like, no, really, pick me. And they're like, so straws? Oh, also, where the fuck did they get the straws from?
Yes. That was Stacey's question. Were they wires that they'd cut off the nuke?
Oh, I don't know. Maybe.
You'd think they would have said that instead of just saying straws.
Because after you've risked it between a red wire and a blue wire right at the end, what you want to do after that is haphazardly just start cutting wires off a fucking nuclear device. Anywho, that takes us down to the end. Thank you, fuck you, I don't know, to these guys for joining us to discuss this film.
Whose idea was this?
I don't know. Oh, no, no. It was a cumulative idea.
It was
cumulative idea of Bruce Willis just got nominated for 8 Razzies.
Oh, yeah.
Started
right.
talking about, remember when Bruce Willis was good? Let's try and do a Bruce Willis film. We've just done Don't Look Up. Why don't we do another Armageddon film? Why don't we do Armageddon?
That's right. Okay. I still would have preferred redoing Die Hard.
It was Car.
I know it's not Christmas, but still.
It? It was Car.
It has been a while since I've done a really, really bad film, though, so...
How does this movie have such a high rating on IMDb? It's like it's almost 7. Oh,
it's a good question. I reckon the people that rated it are people that rated it based on memory alone, of like sheer enjoyment of like, oh my God, it's so stupid. A guy blows up a nuke and it smashes an asteroid in half. Like it's a crazy out there idea. Don't get me wrong. It's just executed so Michael Bailey.
I feel like it could have been good. I sent Sam, Kahi, you wouldn't know, but I sent Sam a snippet of my notes right at the start. And like literally the first 15 minutes I sent Sam a message, it was just like, I already hate this director. This is terrible editing and directing. And then I sent one I had noted straight after it, oh, it's a Michael Bay film. Oh, now I understand. Okay.
So bad.
Made perfect
so bad.
Sense.
Anywho, if you want to get a hold of us, you can find us on Twitter at Movie Reviews In or Movie Reviews In 20Qs on Instagram and Facebook. Or you can send us an email at miritqs@gmail.com. Anyway, yeah, cool. That's thanks from me.
Thank you from me.
She's got space dementia.